Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Bey's Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. Last Perek, we met the courageous and determined Yoshiyahu and saw how he recognized the terrible behavior of his father and grandfather and began to clean up their mess. How he began with renovating and restoring our Beis HaMikdash, and we read about the finding of the Torah scroll and the message of destruction he found out it foretold. And now our chapter. In verse 1, Yoshiyahu summons all the elders of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and in verse 2, Vaya'al HaMelech Beis Hashem v'chol ish Yehuda v'chol yoshvei Yerushalayim ito v'hakohanim v'hanaviyim v'chol ha'am l'mikaton v'ad gadol v'yikra ba'aznehem es kol divrei sefer habris hanimtza b'Beis Hashem. The king went up to the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, and all the people of Yehuda and all the inhabitants of Yerushalayim were with him, and the Kohanim and the prophets and all the people from small to great. And he read in their ears all the words of the scroll of the covenant that was found in the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem. He wants every single person to be there and to hear with their own ears. But it's more than that. The klalos, the curses that the Torah was ruled to, are written at the end of Parshas Kisavo in Sefer Devarim. Immediately following them is Parshas Nitzavim, a beautiful bris covenant that Moshe makes, reconnecting and reaffirming Bnei Yisrael's relationship with Hashem, so close to his death before the Jewish people enter the land of Israel. And so Yoshiyahu will do the same right here. After reading the klalos, he gathers the entire nation together. Verse 3, Vayamod hamelech al ha'amud vayichros es habris lefnei Hashem. Lalaches achar Hashem. V'lishmor mitzvosav ves edosav ves chukosav b'chol lev uv'chol nefesh. L'hakim es divrei habris hazos. Haksuvim al hasefer hazeh. Vayamod Kol Ha'am Babris. The king stood at his place and enacted the covenant before Hashem to follow Hashem, to observe his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all their heart and soul, to fulfill the words of this covenant which are written in this scroll. And all the people accepted the covenant. The message of Yoshiyahu: what was done was done, but we are turning it around today. Hashem is our God, and believing in Him means the whole package, every single mitzvah, every single law. No more hypocrisies, no more inconsistencies. We are the nation of Hashem. We need to start thinking like that, speaking like that, and most importantly, behaving like that. And then verse 4, Vayitzav HaMelech es Chilkiyahu HaKohen HaGadol ves Kohanei HaMishneh ves Shomrei HaSaf lohotzi meheicha Hashem es kol hakelim haasuyim lebal v'la'ashira ulechol tzva Hashemayim vayisrafim michutz liYerushalayim Bishadmos Kidron Vinasa es Afaram Beisal. The king instructed Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim of the second rank, and the gatekeepers to remove from the temple of Hashem all the utensils that were made for the Baal, for the Asherah, and for the entire host of the heavens. And he burnt them outside Yerushalayim in the plains of Kidron, and he carried their ashes to Beitel. Radak explains that although Menashe had removed those idols from the Beis HaMikdash during his teshuva process, his son Amon had returned them all. And yes, Yoshiyahu had begun to remove them even before finding the Torah scroll, but now he is completing the job. In verses 5 to 7, he removes the Komarim, the pagan priests, and burnt the idols, smashed them to dust, torched the pagan houses of worship. And then in verse 8, he brought Vayave es kol hakohanim are Yehuda, Vayitame es habamos, Asher kitu shama hakohanim, Migeva ad be'er shava, Vinatates bamos hasha'arim, Asher pesach shar Yehoshua sar ha'ir, Asher al smol ish bishar ha'ir. He brought all the priests from the towns of Yehuda. He defiled those private altars where the priests burnt incense from Geva until Be'er Shava. He demolished the high places near the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Yehoshua, the governor of the city, which was on a person's left upon entering the city gate. So many of the Mefarshim note that this altar near the gate of Yehoshua was a well-known, extremely large one, and that is why it is specified here. But Ahavas Yonasan, 18th century commentary written by Reb Yonasan Eibeshitz, says, "This is a reference to Yehoshua ben Nun. Had he thoroughly eradicated all pagan deities, had he done the perfect job he was told to do, we would not be in this situation today. That Yoshiyahu is actually completing the unfinished business of Yehoshua ben Nun." And also, this verse specifies the Kohanim. While methodically removing all the idols and utterly destroying them, the verse says, "Vayaveh es kol ha-kohanim me'arei Yehuda." He brought the priests from the cities of Yehuda back to Yerushalayim. These were true Kohanim, descendants of Aharon HaKohen. But they had also fallen to idol worship. These he returned to Yerushalayim and helped with their rehabilitation process. He encouraged them to do proper teshuvah. But sadly, in verse 9, the sad reality is their idol worship had tainted them. They now have the status of Baalei Mum. They are blemished and disqualified from the holy service of Hashem. And like Baalei Mum, they will still be allowed to eat the karbanos. The extensive list of what Yoshiyahu destroyed and abolished in verses 10 to 14 open our eyes to how widespread idolatry was, how many kinds of service, how many different gods, how pervasive, entrenched, and woven into the very fabric of society it had become. And then, in verse 15, he leaves the territory of Yehuda, goes up to Betel. 15. V'gam es hamizbeach asher beveisel habama asher asa Yeravam ben Nevat asher hachetias Yisrael gam es hamizbeach hahu ve'es habama natatz v'yisrof es habama hadak la'afar v'saraf ashera. Also the altar that was in Beisel, the high place that Yeravam the son of Nevat made, with which he caused Yisrael to sin, also that altar and the high place he demolished. He burnt the high place, he ground it into dust, and burnt the Asherah. That first step to idol worship hundreds of years ago, that original seed of calamity that had caused all of this destruction, now Yoshiyahu finally destroys it once and for all. And then, in verse 16, Vayifen Yoshiyahu, Vayar es hakvarim asher sham bahar, Vayishlach vayikach es ha'atzamos min hakvarim, Vayisrof al hamizbeach, Vayitam ehu kidvar Hashem, Asher kara ish ha'elokim, Asher kara es hadvarim ha'ela. Yoshiyahu turned and saw the graves that were there on the mountain, and he sent people and took the bones out of the graves, and he burnt them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of Hashem that the man of God had proclaimed, who had foretold these events. Did anybody get the chills when hearing this pasuk? Of course, back at the beginning of the story in Melachim Aleph, chapter 13, when Yeravam had first built this Mizbeach and was sacrificing on it, a Navi, who Rashi tells us was Ido, had come and said, "Mizbeach, Mizbeach, ko amar Hashem, hinei ben nolad lebeis David Yoshiyahu shemo, v'zavach alecha es kohanei habamos hamikatrim alecha, v'atzmos adam yisrefu alecha." O altar, altar, so says God, behold, a son will be born to the house of David. His name will be Yoshiyahu, and he will place and burn upon you the priests of these altars who are sacrificing on you, and the bones of man he will burn on you. So many centuries earlier, this act of strength and courage had been foretold. Right at the beginning of this terrible disaster, Hashem had already planned for the man who will begin to fix it. And then, in verse 17, Yoshiyahu notices something. Vayomer, ma hatziyun halaz asher ani ro'eh? He said, "What is this marker that I see?" And the townspeople told him, Vayomre lev anshei ha'ir ha'kever, ish ha'elokim asher ba miyehuda, vayikras hadvarim ha'ila asher asisa, al hamizbeach beisel. The people of the city said to him, this is the grave of that Navi who had come from Yehuda and called out these matters that you have just done on this altar of Beitel. That was the Navi of Hashem. That was Ido who ate at the home of the Navi Zaken, the old false prophet, and was killed by a lion. And remember, the false prophet wanted to be buried with him because he believed that his prophecy was true, and he was. In verse 18, Yoshiyahu commands, Vayomer hanichulo, ish al yana atmosav, vayimaltu atmosav, es atmos hanavi asher ba mishomron. And he said, leave him, let no man move his bones. And they spared his bones with the bones of the prophet who came from Shomron. And in verses 19 and 20, Yoshiyahu continues his amazing campaign, traveling from city to city. His hands-on approach is so inspiring. Not resorting to delegating, he is staying involved in the process to make sure it happens. And then in verse 21, he announces that there will be a huge Pesach this year, and everyone is expected to attend just as it is written in the Torah. And then the amazing verse 22. Ki lo na'asa kapesach hazeh miyimei ha'shoftim asher shaftu es Yisrael v'chol yimei malchei Yisrael u'malchei Yehuda. That Pesach like this was not done since the days of the Shoftim that judged the Jewish people and in all the days of the kings of Yisrael and the kings of Yehuda. Not, of course, that Pesach had not been kept. We mentioned just a few days ago the amazing Pesach observed and celebrated by Chizkiyahu. But, as Radak explains, Shehayu kol Yisrael belev echad la'avod es Hashem, that the entire Jewish nation united with one heart to serve God. There is certainly something about Pesach that brings us all back home to our core, to our neshamos, our souls. And verses 23 and 24 continue to list his many achievements. And verse 25, the kamohu lo haya lefanav melech asher shav el Hashem bechol levavo uvechol nafsho uvechol meodo kechol toras Moshe v'acharav lo kam kamohu. Before him, there was never a king like him who returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his possessions, and according to the entire Torah of Moshe. And after him, no one rose like him. Now, this phrase may sound familiar to us. In fact, in chapter 18, it tells us about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Va'acharav lo haya kamohu, Bechol Malchei Yehuda, Va'asher hayu lefanav. And after him, there was no one like him amongst all the kings of Yehuda and those who came before him. The Malbim tells us, indeed, in these dark final years of Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, there were two beacons of light, two remarkable figures, but they were each unique in a particular way. There was no one who batach b'Hashem, who relied on Hashem like Chizkiyahu in terms of unwavering trust in Hashem, and there was no one who epitomized the ability to return to Hashem, who actually worked to bring the Jewish people to Teshuvah like Yoshiyahu. And yet, we read verse 26, and we read it with tears. Ach, lo shav Hashem mecharon apo hagadol, asher chara apo b'Yehuda, al kol haka'asim asher hich'iso minashe. However, Hashem did not turn back from his great wrath, his wrath that was kindled against Yehuda because of all the provocations with which Menashe had provoked him. And as we read verse 27, we should find room not only for our pain. We must listen to the pain in Hashem's voice as he says, Vayomer Hashem, Gamas Yehuda asir me'al panai, Ka'asher hasirosi es Yisrael, uma'asti es ha'ir hazos Asher Bacharti, Es Yerushalayim, the Es Habayis, Asher Amarti, Yihyeh Shemi Sham. Hashem said, Yehuda, too, I will remove from my presence as I have removed Yisrael, and I will reject this city which I have chosen, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash of which I said my name will be there. But we don't understand. Why? What happened to the miracle of Teshuvah? Why didn't it work? Both Abarbanel and Malbim answer and say, no, it didn't work because it didn't really happen. There are pesukim we will learn in Yirmiyahu that speak about this time of Yoshiyahu that clearly accuse Bnei Yisrael of holding on to idol worship. How do we understand this? The kinos that we say, the lamentations that we read on Tisha B'Av relate the tragedy. Yes, Yoshiyahu made a campaign of Teshuvah like never before, but privately, secretly. Who we call Leitzanei Hador, scoffers of the generation, people who just cannot see beyond themselves and beyond today, people to whom everything is a joke. Secretly, unbeknownst to Yoshiyahu, they continued their lifestyle. They only pretended to change. In fact, Echa Rabbah gives us the details of how they would get away with it. Yoshiyahu would send his men door to door to make sure that there was no idol worship happening in any house. But they cleverly and cynically hid their idols half on the backs of each of the doors. And so, when you open the doors, the idols were invisible. And when Yoshiyahu's men would leave and check off that house, the Leitzanei Hador would close the door and continue to serve idol worship. And that is why in verse 29, Bayamav Allah Paro Necho Melech Mitzrayim al Melech Ashur al Nahar Pras Vayelech HaMelech Yoshiyahu Likraso Vayemisehu B'Megido Kir Oso Oso. In his days, Paro Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, went to wage war against the king of Ashur by Nahar Pras, and the king Yoshiyahu went up to meet him, and he killed him in Megiddo when he saw him. And again, Chazal are so troubled by this. The evil Menashe does his mediocre excuse for Teshuvah and is saved from danger and dies peacefully in his bed. And this angel of a man, Yoshiyahu, dies, as we find out in Divrei Hayamim. The archers shot arrows into him. Medrash Eicha Rabbah tells us 300 arrows. How could this be? And again, more details in Divrei Hayamim and in Maseches Tanis and Eicha Rabbah, that Paro Necho was waging war not with the Jewish people, but with Ashur. He only wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael. And that Yirmiyahu the Navi had told Yoshiyahu that that's what he should allow him to do, that he should let them. But now that Yoshiyahu was an expert on the Torah, he knew that pasuk in Vayikra, the beautiful blessing, that when we serve Hashem completely, v'cherev lo sa'avor ba'artzachem, this phrase, a sword will not pass through your land. This phrase signifies that even a peaceful army, one that merely seeks passage, will not invade your territory. In Yoshiyahu's perception, this was the new reality. He had eradicated idol worship. He had fixed the problem. He had cured them. He had saved them. But it wasn't true. Those secret idol worshippers who were still having their fun, in fact, they killed poor Yoshiyahu with their cynical refusal to make real change. And now, in verse 30, Yoshiyahu is buried. His son, Yehoahaz, becomes king. In verse 31, he is 23 when he becomes king. He rules for only 3 months. Why? Because verse 32, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. And in verse 33, this same Paro Necho captures Yehoahaz, taxes the Jews. And in verse 34, Paro Necho appoints another son of Yoshiyahu, Eliakim, and renames him Yehoiakim, who will be a kind of a puppet king, a figurehead monarch for 11 years. He will continue to pay taxes to Egypt. And the sad ending of this parak, Lamed Zion 37, he did evil in the eyes of God. And yes, it is so painful to read these final chapters, and still important to remember, as this final pasuk lets us know, that it's not that Teshuvah would not have worked at this late stage, but that it was not done. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.